Welcome back to another episode of the Paralegal Voice, part of the Legal Talk Network. I'm your host, Jill Francisco, an advanced certified paralegal and past president of NYLA. And today I am super duper excited, A, that we're, you know, off to a running start in 2023. It's here. And I'm also excited to have a fun guest that I had a little over a year ago. So I have Tony Sipp joining us today. So, hey, Tony, welcome to the show.
Hi, Jill, and thank you.
It's so, like I said, it's so good to see you again. Tony, like I said, he's a paralegal manager, just to give the listeners a little background. He's a paralegal manager, right. But still, we talked about, he's still dabbling in the paralegal work, hands-on, doing his duty, because as we all know, and we're all experiencing, it's hard to find good paralegals. So Tony maybe wasn't doing as much work, maybe not as much paralegal work as he wanted, but he's been doing maybe more nowadays. But he is the paralegal manager at Manning and Cass, and he manages the paralegals, and they have 7 offices nationwide, which I thought was neat, because I know Dinsmore, we are trying to acquire new offices every year. I don't know when we're going to stop that, but anyway, and like me, you're involved in your local, which I love, former president for the Los Angeles Paralegal Association, and also, like me, had to go through the challenges of 2020 that hopefully were on the outer rim of that, probably never rid of it, but on the outer rim. But it's so good, Tony, to have you back. I feel like that you and I have a lot of, I mean, we obviously have a lot of things in common, but we also, I think, have a lot of different things that makes us, you know, good to conversate and good to follow up and share with our listeners so they can really get some good information when you and I come together.
I agree. It's just from our off our conversations, it's really good. I mean, we share a lot of things in common, and we have that goal to advance the profession. So I enjoy working with you all the time.
So. Oh, I appreciate that. So what I wanted to kind of do, and not just to kind of, you know, because it is January, we're kicking off, you know, like I said, 2023. I just want to talk a little bit about 2022. I felt like it was a good year for paralegals. It was a nice year for me personally. I feel like I've settled into where, you know, I get to work from home. I have that hybrid schedule. I think, are you all work from home now?
It's an option. You can work from home, do the hybrid, or go in office.
Okay.
So choice is yours.
Well, that's nice. They did us where we had like 2 days. We could do 2 days in whatever days, you know, if you wanted to do it again, but you didn't have to. But it's just really neat. I've gotten in a routine, and I think it's affected me in a way that you just don't even notice until you've been doing it for a long time. And, you know, we throw around work-life balance. We throw around, you know, especially mental health things and, you know, family and just all other things that that paralegals, I think, sometimes struggle with, you know, because they get so dedicated and so into their work and want to do such a good job and end up, you know, never really getting away from it. And so I think personally, over the 22, I really have settled into my schedule and to where, you know, attorneys know what to expect. They know they can still rely on me. It's not, you know, the old school thought of like, just because I'm not in the office, I'm not having a party at home, you know, that type of thing. And it's really helped. And also, you know, I think it's really, you know, even changed attorneys' outlook on how things can be accomplished. Maybe where in the past they wouldn't have done that. So how are you been doing with that with 2022?
Well, I'm going to start at 2020. In 2020, when it happened, the pandemic, what happened is that we met our numbers. The paralegals met their numbers, and people were kind of surprised because it's like, well, how did that happen? It happened because they wanted to hit their numbers and make sure that they can still work from home and get that work-life balance. I mean, I even bought, I adopted a chocolate lab. He's like 2 years old now. I wouldn't have done that otherwise, right? Because now I can work from home. I can spend time. My breaks, take them for a walk. I love that part of it. Even attorneys now, moving forward, a lot of the attorneys want to work from home as well. In the hybrid.
I agree with that.
And if you don't, you're going to miss out on an opportunity. For example, like Disney just recently announced that they're making their paralegals go back into the office, or all staff really back into the office for 4 days out of the 5 days.
I saw that article.
So what I'm going to do is take those paralegals when they quit and bring them up to my firm. So
yeah, bring totally Mickey Mouse too. Whoever you got, bring them over.
I mean, get them all. Get them all. So I know that they're good. I had people on the board that work for Walt Disney. So I know that they're capable people. And in fact, this between last year and this year, I've been able to get some paralegals that I never would have been able to get. Never.
Oh, yeah.
Only because the opportunity is still there.
Yep.
It's still an employee's market. So really, my advice, take advantage of the market. You probably have, my guess, maybe 6 months or so.
Yep.
Starting still. This year. yeah, still. Yeah, to go for it. You don't know if the recession is going to kick in or something like that, but update your resume, get everything ready, get your ACP, get your CP if you need to do e-discovery. Start yep. getting that training now because it's going to make your life so much better. And it's still, I've just recently heard from one of my colleagues that they're making good money and yeah. they were going to go to a top 10 firm and turn that down because their current employer matched it. So I'm like, wow. We're still in that market.
Yeah.
We're still in that market.
Yeah. So. And I think that's, and I think I like how you're saying that too, and I agree with you totally. And I'll say it's because I think it's just maybe something that maybe never trickled down to paralegals. Right. And right. so it's nice. I mean, I think that we were deserving because you know how hard they work and you know they have skills and you know the professionals, but I think that it's a good time. And I think we've talked about this. You're encouraging those paralegals out there to take every advantage. And we've talked about how it's a time too for paralegals that are early in their career. I mean, right. you can switch even if you've been out there for a while, but I think early in your career, like, you know, you're getting ones that are more experienced that you would have never had a chance to get. But then I also think you're also giving those a chance that
yeah.
you never would have been able to give a chance if we weren't in the condition that we're in. So, you know, I think you're right. I think 2022 sent us that message. Yes. And I liked it. And I think it's really great for paralegals. And so, you know, I hope our listeners, like you said, please, you know, no matter what stage you're in the game, right. You know, a ton of experience, a little experience. And I think even if you like your job, polish your resume, have your resume ready.
Exactly.
And just have it ready because, I mean, I'll be honest, I had a job. I'm not looking for another job. I mean, you know, I'm happy with my job. And I had one just fall in my lap. And I went through the motions just because, I wanted to see if I could. You know? Hey, you know, I don't know. Can I do this if I had to? And what was funny, though, is they gave me everything I wanted. I guess I should have wanted more. I laugh about it now. But ultimately, I'm comfortable in my job. I like my job. I'm respected. You know, people know me. And sometimes that's hard to convert to whatever, you know, convert it right. to more vacation days, more money, you know, more time off or whatever. And I just was like, eh, you know, and honestly, yeah. it was one day less in the office, but it also was a 2-hour round trip drive twice a week. And I literally, when I do go in the office here, I have like 10 minutes. And you know, there's no other traffic in West Virginia. So that's really 10 minutes. So, you know, I'm not rocking it in the big state and cities like you are. But, you know, it's like I hope that paralegals, like you said, it's been big. I've really tried to take advantage of all aspects. And just to recap a little bit more in 2022, you know, we had to do things different. And on one hand, you sometimes get bent out of shape. But on the other hand, I think it was awesome. And I tried to take all the things that I could learn from those experiences. Like I tried to take out, you know, if it was something I had to do different, something I never had to do, or maybe it was a task that I had done 10,000 times, but now had to do it different. I tried to pull and learn from it and just kind of roll with the punches because I think that, you know, that's one of the paralegal strengths is adjusting to change, is adapting, is just helping out. And then also helping the attorneys, helping, you know, encouraging what other staff, our secretaries, our legal assistants, our scanner, you know, whatever else we work with to try to bring them in and make them feel comfortable and just say, hey, let's just get at it, you know. So I personally tried to do that. And I think that it's really helped my skill set coming around to 2023, because we may not have to do it that way forever, but if we do, I know how to do it.
It's true.
You know,
2022 was a hard year. It was a hard year, but here we are, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I would definitely encourage experience or just getting into the business, write down your goals, what you want to accomplish, and just set that goal. There's something magical that happens when you put pen to paper, or I guess now, type.
Type it in. So, put it in your notes.
Put it on your notes, right? So it really makes a big difference. You can't see it, but I have a board, a whiteboard on my wall of all my goals that I want to accomplish. And it helps. Like we converted the bedrooms into offices.
Yeah.
So now when I'm working from home, there's actually a window and some comfort. I can shut the door. But it's a good time for paralegals, especially if you're getting into the market, to go for it, right? Update your resume, put down your goals, and then act upon it. You got to take that. You really have to take that risk and go for it.
No, I totally agree. And like you said, I tried to, I always like to talk about, since we're like talking about 2022, and this obviously is data from there, but the Labor Bureau statistics, the paralegal career field is projected to grow 14% 2021 to 2031. And I just feel like, I mean, obviously that's way above, a national average or anything for a lot of other professions. And so I always like to throw that out there. I tell my students that, because I'm like, hey, I always kind of break it down like really elementary. And I'm like, hey, look, law, medical, education, housing. housing, you could take these basic, things that we've seen crazy things happen in the world, and yet those remain. My son is a senior this year. That's why, that's why I'm saying 2023, we used to laugh about that he was going to graduate in 2023. And I'm like now crying, holding onto his leg that it's 2023. But he had always been straight engineering. And then like in the last month or so, started thinking about cybersecurity.
Interesting.
And there had been the IT CEO of our Dinsmore has been on him, wanting him to check it out. And he's always shot him down. And just recently, JD took the opportunity to go up and do a job shadowing.
Oh, that's where...
Where I was in Cincinnati.
Yeah, I remember.
And it was phenomenal that they took the time and would do it for him, but it was also awesome for him to see and get a glimpse not only of the cybersecurity, what that job entails, but how it relates in the law firm and in the legal aspect, and which I love because I obviously love my profession, love the law, and want him, to learn and share about it and understand my, love and enthusiasm for it. So it was really, really awesome. So I don't know if it got him hooked, but it really, really got him interested. There was a lot of super cool things that they showed him. I mean, so much so they made him sign a privacy agreement. So So anyway, I was just saying, for paralegals, that's just an example. That's a big career, move, and paralegals keeping up on technology and paralegals keeping up with what's going on, because even if it's, we're not IT, but you know how it is. We got to know a little bit about it to survive. And I think even more so now.
Yeah. Our firm, every once in a while sends a test. I'll call it a test.
Yes, we do too.
We're like,
I call it a game.
It's a game. To see if you're paying attention, see if you're opening emails that aren't, that you shouldn't be. Cybersecurity is huge. I mean, the amount of breaches that happened to firms really made people step up their game. So those IT professionals, JD, at this point, if he goes into that, I mean, wow, he'll... That's a career move right there.
Yeah.
That's a career move.
Well, and people keep telling him the money, and I think it's really finally hitting home with him.
I started off trying to do, what did I do? I did a lot of non-for-profits.
Oh, yeah.
Didn't get me, financially stable. But then when I made that switch, I was like, well, this is nice over here.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's fun to do something you love, but you also, it also is fun to make a living at it.
Yeah, that was even better. I public service I'm all for. I still volunteer. I actually yep. ran for office and got elected
awesome.
For the Greater Valley Glen Neighborhood Council. There was a lot of getting out there and just, you know, selling yourself.
Yep.
Right. And I guess they were sold.
Right, right. They bought it.
So, guess it worked. I got voted in twice. So I'm like, okay, this is good.
That's awesome to branch out and do those kind of, like you said, fun things that you don't necessarily have to, you know, be getting a paycheck, but still meaningful in another way. So, Tony, let's take a quick break before we move on with our conversation. So we'll be right back.
Looking for a process server you can trust? ServeNow.com is a nationwide network of local pre-screened process servers. ServeNow works with the most professional process servers in the industry, connecting your firm with process servers who embrace technology, have experience with high-volume serves, and understand the litigation process and rules of properly effectuating service. Find a pre-screened process server today. Visit www.servenow.com.
Delegate out those tasks that take up your time. Staffy can help you with your legal, administrative, marketing, and even client-facing workload. Hiring Staffy's top-notch bilingual virtual staff means Staffy does the recruiting, hiring, and training for you. Then, if you need a change, Staffy handles it. You get to concentrate on your strategic work. Schedule a free consultation at staffy.cc. That's STAFI.cc and get $500 off with code HAPPY24.
Welcome back to the Paralegal Voice. I'm Jill Francisco, and my guest today is Tony Sipp. And Tony, just to touch on one other thing, because we don't want to stay in 2022. We want to move on to 2023. But when we were talking about jobs and different opportunities, and we were wanting our listeners to really like have their head on a swivel, you know, like just be looking for opportunities, you know, don't be afraid to go for it. I think that's all the tips and, you know, your goal setting, you know, putting down your goals. I think we're giving our listeners a lot of tips and a lot of ideas to, you know, start off and have their best paralegal year in 2023. But I had to mention this because when we're talking about like different things and like that this never was for paralegals, I had an attorney that I used to work for that went in-house at a hospital in West Virginia email me this job. And it, the job title is paralegal and foundation director. So... So the paralegal and director of the Foundation for Community Health, and they're responsible for obviously all the legal support to the in-house, you know, attorney and law department, you know, so to speak, that they have. But then also scrolling through the job duties, then they manage the day-to-day for the foundation and writing grants. And I'm like, oh my gosh. Like, and I just kept scrolling and I'm like, wow, this is like, I mean, I'm sure there's a person clearly that probably has, you know, some of these or most of these things that this is going to be the perfect job. But I just thought, wow. And the biggest thing I loved about this is that look at how they have the faith in the paralegal. Because really, that's the main focus. I'm like, so they think a person can be a paralegal, and then they're also that, you know, strength and experience and whatever to also be the foundation director. Now, maybe they're just trying to save money on salary, but anyway.
I think it's a bit of both. We definitely know that paralegals bring in money. I'm on the insurance defense side.
Yep.
So we have to bill. And what happens is that there's less people doing more work, and it's hard. It's crushing on some people. They quit, you know, for whatever. Well, we know the reason.
Yeah,
but
too much.
It's a lot. It's way too much. And that job description is like, if it comes with an assistant, okay,
yeah,
maybe I
knew.
Yeah,
and because just
that's
just
a lot of work.
Yes, and just well, and even to know all the stuff, the ins and outs of the 501c for the grant writing. I mean, that to me would be a uncharted territory. Even if the paralegal had, you know, a lot of the other duties, you know, and experience. But here's one thing. This is funny. So preferred education and experience: 2 or more years of experience in grant writing and grants management. Paralegal certification from industry recognized organizations such as NALA or AACP, and nonprofit fundraising experience. And lastly, master's degree in related field.
You have most of that.
Can we?
You have most of that.
I was like, we get, like you said, can we get a 2-for-1? Can we get
Seriously.
But anyway, I just wanted to bring that up because I just really think, like I said, I mean, just be out there looking because there are so many opportunities, and different and changing. It's just really a neat time. And I just wanted to bring that up because I was like, wow, when I saw that. So anyway, so let's talk about, I want to kind of move into, because I know that you have a lot of information on this, as do I, about challenges paralegals are going to be facing in 2023. You know, how can the paralegals deal with it? How can, you know, they kind of stay ahead of all this? There's a lot of stuff, being flexible, open to change. You know, I think we talked a little bit about that, but I know that the push of the LLT is back, because you remember, what was it? Washington was the first to do that. And then it kind of dropped off for various reasons, not necessarily. I think it was actually just interest. I don't think there was anything like, it wasn't anything like real negative. It just, like, there wasn't a lot of people, I think, applying to do it. And anyway, here and we're there, it kind of dropped off. Now it's back. And honestly, one of my friends sent me a map. I'll have to forward it to you if you haven't seen it. A map of the United States that shows all the states that there's activity, you know, in the legislature and things like that, that are revolving around the limited licensed legal technician, formal for the abbreviation LLT. And I was very surprised with it, because it's not just like out west now, or it's not just, you know, it's really all around. And I think it's getting more push because, of course, access to justice. I mean, that's the basis for this. Like, you know, how can we as a society and communities, and just, you know, as humans, give people that do not have the funds or just access, not only funds, but like to, you know, rural places. I mean, you know, reaching and get the help in the legal world that they need and deserve to have if they need it. So, I mean, I don't know. Are you seeing, because I'm in West Virginia, you're out in California.
I'll tie it in. And you can understand why now I spent a lot of my time in non-for-profit.
Yeah.
Because these type of issues are the issues that it really talks to me. COVID proved that divide is real, you know, which is why I got involved with the city to try to get more paralegals out there to serve the underserved community. Yep. Some people want to deny it, but the data is there, you know. Some attorneys get upset because, oh, you're taking money out of my pocket. Like, are we though? You didn't even reach out to these people, you know?
No.
So, yeah, they're fighting it. In California, there was a push for that as well. At our conference last year, we had a judge stand up and speak. And the information he gave was valuable. He said, it's going to happen. But first, the State Bar of California needs to clean up their act, clean up their own house. And once that happens, they'll push everything through.
Yeah.
So I don't know what's going on at the State Bar, but apparently they got to clean.
Got to do some house cleaning. Well, and I'll tell you what, it was really neat for me. And like I said, maybe you were more familiar with it than I was. But I mean, obviously, I'd heard about it because when I was leading NALA, you know, you always try to keep the feelers out there to know, you know, what may or may not affect the profession of the paralegal. And at first, it's like, you know, it's instinct, I think, to think kind of like, oh, you know, is this a negative? Is this weird? This is different. But actually, it forced me to investigate it a little more and really see what it is. And like you said, that's not that at all. It's something that a paralegal could choose to do if you wanted to, or you don't. And if you don't, I don't think it's going to hurt you. Or I don't think it's going to take your job, or it's not, you know, that's not even what it is. So I think one thing is, it was neat to get the knowledge. And I think they're probably still doing that battle in a lot of instances with attorneys, like you said, hanging your own shingle. I mean, that's not even what it is. Because like you said, the people that the paralegals may end up helping, or the LLT may end up helping, like you said, they would have nobody. They're not going to have an attorney. So, you know, like you said, it's not really taking business away from them, because it wouldn't have been, you know, it wouldn't have been there in the beginning. So that's just something I think we need to keep our, I mean, I like to keep an eye on it. I like to see what it's doing. I'm trying to get Alicia out of North Carolina. They're in that access to justice with the North Carolina. They've made push. They're watching legislation. They're really have their finger on the pulse down there. And they're really trying to make a big push and, you know, provide data and provide the statistics like you're talking about. And so I'm going to try to have her on, I think, in March. She's a very busy lady. She's getting her doctorates now. So, yeah, yeah. She's definitely a mover and a shaker, as I like to call her. But, you know, I can't wait to follow up with her because we'll have a little bit into 2023 and see what's transpired and then, you know, get an update of what kind of how they wrapped up 2022 with it. But I think it's neat for humanity. I think it's neat just to, you know, be involved in that kind of thing. And even as a paralegal, you know, you can probably even do both, honestly. Like it's something else where you could get a certification or you can get something else. And if it comes about that you can devote at X number of time or do it as a contract basis or, I mean, there's so many options with it. But the main thing that I like and that you were just stressing, it's getting people help that wouldn't have it.
That's the bottom line. In fact, LA started a new program addressing that issue. So it's really great. And I happen to know the head of that department. Awesome. So we're going to collaborate with LAPA and probably some other California associations as well to help. Yeah. And that's a great way for, you know, new paralegals to get experience as well.
Yes.
Because you're working with attorneys. You're helping out. You're going into the community. It's going to make a difference. And I'm looking forward to it. I want to be part of that difference. So
that's
I love doing that.
You have to let me know how that goes because that's something to really, like, you could even, like, talk about that, like, at NALA if you guys are successful with doing that. And that's something that other associations could do because I always stress to my students legal aid. You know, going down and volunteering at Legal Aid, because that's something you can actually put on your resume, put that you were, you know, doing something applicable to your degree that you're seeking. And like you said, get an experience before you're actually out, you know, in the workforce. And like you said, that's another awesome way to do it. If you're even a student member, I mean, you could be a student member of your association and then get in on all that that you're doing.
Yeah. Every March, whenever the LA Marathon happens the day before, they have a 5K. And LAPA has participated in several of these Run for Justice. It's through the public council. And it's I'll say this. They let you into Dodger Stadium. There's every law firm possible where you're sitting.
Right.
If you want to network, that's your time to network. You can find out so much.
Because.
Yeah, it's you're all there for the same reason. Well, hopefully, you're all there for the same reason. But you can network, you know. I was looking for a job one time, and I was just like, oh, there's the firm I want to work at. And they have their names on their shirts. And I was like, oh.
You're like, hey, I'm Tony.
Start a conversation.
Well, you know, and that's just, and it's fun because a lot of times those are so much more meaningful in that atmosphere, you know, like just kind of like, hey, you know, what's going on? And then they kind of, and because you're there and you're doing that, it's like that already tells a little bit about you. And, you know, that's what I'm saying. Paralegals, you know, get out there and like do that kind of stuff because you never know. Like you could have, you know, look at the connections that you're making and whether it's for a job or whether it's just, you know, networking, somebody you can call upon to get career tips or, you know, help when you're working. So anyway, all right, Tony, we got to take another quick break and talk about our supporters and take a real quick commercial break, and we'll be right back to wrap this up.
Hey, Gee, what's up?
Just having some lunch, Conrad.
Hey, Gee, do you see that billboard out there?
Oh, you mean that guy out there in the gray suit?
Yeah, the gray suit guy.
Order up. There's all those beautiful, rich, leather-bound books in the background.
That is exactly the one. That's J.D. McGuffin at Law. He'll fight for you!
I bet you he has got so many years of experience.
Like decades and decades. And I bet he even went to a law school.
Are you a lawyer? Do you suffer from dull marketing and a lack of positioning in a crowded legal marketplace? Sit down with Gee and Conrad for Lunch Hour Legal Marketing on the Legal Talk Network. Available wherever podcasts are found.
Welcome back to the Paralegal Voice. I'm Jill Francisco, and my guest today, Tony Sipp. We were hot and heavy into our conversation. I feel like we could talk all day about this stuff because, I mean, I think one reason why we can is because we're both really super excited about it. It's an exciting time for paralegals, and we just want, you know, our listeners to really, you know, don't hesitate, get out there and take advantage of all that's out there. So leading into that, it's like, hey, let's make this, you know, your best paralegal year ever. Like, you know, best year ever. So, Tony, what are you thinking? Like, we've already gone over, you know, goal setting and some things like that, but, you know, what are you thinking to make it your best year?
A few things. One of the things is like there are new laws that were enacted January 1st.
Oh, yeah.
For example, New York and California now require pay transparency, which means in their job advertisements, they have to tell you how much you're going to make or not make.
That would be nice.
That's very nice. But a lot of, you can imagine, there's a few companies, firms, and companies that do not want to disclose that to the public, right? And they don't want to tell you how much they're paying their execs, right?
Yep.
And the bonuses and the other stuff that they're giving these people. So I should say giving. Maybe sometimes they earn it. But
here and there.
So it's just, again, I'm all for, I know we both are, for uplifting the community and uplifting the paralegals.
Yep.
So I think it'd be a good time to start looking at those job postings and kind of see where you fit in. Talk to the recruiters, see if you can update your resume. Using Times New Roman isn't always the best. You got to switch it up sometimes.
Right.
So it's a new market. If you haven't done it in a while, and I look at resumes nearly every day because, you know, I'm posting ads. And I see a really, really great ones and others that, well, they should see a recruiter and see if they can get some help developing their resume and what they're doing.
Yeah, and what's sad is I'm sure that a lot of times those are great candidates and they're just, like you said, they just don't have the, you know, like somebody was asking me, my students were talking about, you know, do you still, it's all tradition about like, remember you used to like go to the interview and then like time it right and write a thank you note and for so much time out. And then, you know, do you do a cover letter? Do you not do a cover letter? I mean, there's, you know, don't have it over, you know, so much. There was all these little things that, you know, people just kind of got in their mind. And like you said, definitely just go see go do the resources. Let those people that are the experts, you know, do the work for you. And like you said, at least get some pointers. Because like you said, I think that you're looking at those, you're scanning over those. And yeah, you have some good ones, but you may also have some that they just don't have a good resume and they really have the skills or the experience. It's just not being projected in the 5 minutes or so that you have to look at those. And so you don't choose them. So, no, I agree with that.
It's like 20 to 30 seconds, really. That's how quickly I go through resumes.
Sorry, it took you 5 minutes. You can tell I'm not looking at resumes.
I'm hiring that person if I, you know, have 5 minutes to look at the resume. Yeah, it happens very fast. It happens very fast. And as paralegals, we have a tendency to be modest, right? Yep. We're not selling ourselves. We're just do the job. I mean, it's been a long time since I've heard thank you. So I'm just like, I know how it is. So take a look at your resume, go over that, get your skill sets up, and just network. Join an association or some other networking group to get where you want to be. And if you're not doing that now, you're going to miss the boat.
No, I agree with you. And the one thing I would talk about too, and I think you're saying this too, it goes along with, I like to call it, like I talk about career enrichment and things to do to enrich your career, because your career doesn't, and your career doesn't have to be like where you're at right now at that, you know, stage. It can be doing a lot of things. And like I said, that's when I think you and I have talked about, you know, getting into teaching. That was one of my kind of last professional goals. I wanted to teach, you know, writing. I don't do as much writing. I could do it. I'm not a big person that wants to write 20,000 articles. I'd rather just talk about them. But anyway, but you know, leadership, leading into leadership, being a leader, whether it's at your office or like you said, association, mentoring. I mean, you know, you've kind of touched on that. And I think when you mentor, you always end up learning and getting takeaways. Yes. You know, yourself or, you know, redirecting your energy or efforts to something that you kind of forgot that maybe, you know, existed or that you love. And now you, you know, it's been brought up because you're teaching this person. And so I think all those are good ways to try to, you know, recharge, get excited, boost yourself up, because you don't have to just change jobs to enrich your career either. You know, you can do a lot of achievements and, you know, will make yourself more valuable to your current employer, obviously.
Yeah. It, being the president of LAPA lit up the eyes of my employer. And then moving on to diversity in the profession committee with the Bar Association here.
Yeah.
Ooh, lights up. I mean, they're posting stuff about the accomplishments outside of work that I'm doing.
Yeah.
Which I love. I love, and I know they love. It just ties in together with what I love. So it works together. And getting that leadership skill and awards and all that stuff does help, you know, and it pushes you forward and it gives you motivation to keep going. So get yourself out there and just, like you said, be a leader. Make sure you make those right decisions. Get the educational skills that you need to be the best that you can be. I mean, why shouldn't you be the best person out there?
Right. And I think
every right to be.
Yeah. And you touched on this a little bit. Collaboration. I feel like people use it. It's like a buzzword. I mean, it's a big buzzword, but I also think it's not just, you know, talk. I think collaboration is really, really big now. And it's not only, you know, within the law firms, I think you're seeing it more, but, you know, to me, making the most of collaboration and then also being pointed and aware, and you brought this up, and how to take action with the DEI component. Exactly. You know, that's a big thing to me. I was proud that we could get that started with Nala a few years ago, and they're continuing it and running with it. And I think they're really seeing it in the action items and the accomplishments that they're making. Because I think sometimes people just don't understand why they're stagnant, why they're not doing anything, why there's those movement, why there's just the same old, and I'm like, because you have the same old, and you know, I try to really be simple with it. I mean, it's funny, but not funny, because you really should do it because it's the right thing to do, not just because it's, you know, because it's popular to do or, you know, whatever right now, or you feel you have to do it. It's the right thing to do. And I really have tried to be pointed in all aspects, little things in my life, you know, bigger things, boards, committees, classroom. I mean, just, you know, examples. I just really try to carry it. And to me, it's amazing the reality of how it does make a difference.
I couldn't agree more. I mean, I started the first DEI for LAPA in 2020. Yep. And I'll be honest, when I'm hiring people for the firm, I'm looking for diverse people and interesting people, you know, even from their name. I was like, oh, I cannot pronounce that name, but I'm going to interview them anyway.
Right.
So, and they'll tell me how to pronounce their name, right? But you got to get those people in there. It makes a difference in the law firm. And DEI, by the way, is a sexy term right now. Everybody wants to be part of that. So be part of it, you know? If you are a POC, immigrant, whatever the case may be, get yourself out there.
Do it.
I want you.
Right. You know, and like I said, and not just because it's, like you said, it's popular, it's exciting, but it's really just the right thing to do. And
it is.
I know you and I agree with that. And I think we'll have to definitely down the road, we need to do a whole segment
on that,
because we definitely could go on and on about it. And I actually have had, they've had some good speakers at NALA when we were first trying to get it off the ground. And we had some of those, because I think the first step was education, as is with a lot of things in this world. And, but now I think, you know, you and I can really have some good conversations with each other, and also, you know, maybe bring, you know, somebody else on to really get their background and get their take and, expand on it. Because like you said, it's popular, but it's the right thing to do. And we need to all keep merging towards it and always thinking of it and being pointed and being directed and take action to do it.
Absolutely. And to touch on what you said earlier, the collaboration is huge.
Yeah.
I know in 2020 that SDPA, LAPA, SFPA, collaborated. And that's how we got through 2020.
Yep.
We're still doing that. You know, because of those relationships, we are better for it.
Yep.
We're better for it.
I mean, you've taken something that was negative, or not negative, but, you know, a situation you got thrown into, and you've pulled out the positives. And now you're keeping it going, keeping those things that worked. And to keep it going. So, well, Tony, I'll tell you what, we could talk all day, clearly. and I just hope, like I said, I wanted to, you know, touch on some things. I think our listeners will get some great information from our conversation, hopefully today. And then if they have any follow-up questions or anything, what's the easiest way, your contact information, to get a hold of you if they have a follow-up question or something, want to reach out to you for your email or something?
The one I'll actually look at is like the LinkedIn.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So it's perfect.
Tony Sipp and
connect on there.
DM me. Yeah. Okay. Exactly.
Okay. Perfect. Perfect. Yeah. So, anyway, but thank you so much again for taking your time. It's fun to, like I said, come back around with you. And you know, seriously, like I said, we have a lot of things to share. And I really appreciate you taking the time today to do that with the listeners.
Well, thanks for having me.
You're welcome.
This is awesome.
And before we sign off today, I do want to say, you know, I think we had Carl. I want to wish him, our Carl Morrison, my co-host, the other host of the Paralegal Voice, is signing off. Like, I listened to his last episode, and, you know, it's hard to believe that he's been doing it for 5 years, took over from Vicki Voisin, the show's founder. And so, like I said, I wish Carl all the best in his future endeavors. It sounds like that he's got a full plate, you know, ahead of him, and it's been a pleasure to share the mic, so to speak, together, apart, whatever, that we did. And so anyway, wishing Carl all the best. So it is a lot to do. And it's funny, he said he struggles with saying no. And I said, yeah, isn't that a paralegal's MO? You know, but don't fear, the listeners, we're gonna keep going strong. We're gonna, you know, anything, I would like to hear anything that, you know, listeners want to touch on that we're not, or, you know, anything input that they have, you know, I'm always here to take input and, you know, get that information as well. So anyway, thank you again so much, Tony. And
of course,
we'll talk to Carl's you soon, probably.
Yeah.
All right. So anyway, and to our listeners, thank you so much for joining me today. It's been a pleasure, and I hope that we'll talk to you next month. Thank you, and signing off, Jill Francisco.